Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. An Alaska Native corporation has joined voices calling for recall of Governor Mike Dunleavy. KNBA reports that the board of directors of Anchorage-based Cook Inlet Region Incorporated, or CIRI, announced yesterday support for the recall. CIRI spokesperson Ethan Tyler highlighted four recall campaign justifications: unfitness for office related to delay of a judicial appointment, misuse of state funds for political ad campaigns, violation of separation of powers, and incompetent veto of state funds.
In looking at those 4 points, CIRI believes that the effect of those four actions, or those 4 points or actions that the governor has taken, negatively impacts our business here in the state of Alaska, and ultimately our shareholders.
Tyler says the last time CIRI got involved in politics was in support of Senator Lisa Murkowski's 2010 write-in campaign. According to its website, CIRI has about 8,800 shareholders. Governor Dunleavy has signed a bill that funds the state capital budget and restores funding for power cost equalization, university scholarships, and numerous other programs. KTOO reports that meanwhile the governor is still weighing whether to sign a separate bill that would provide a $1,600 permanent fund dividend this fall and reverse most of his earlier line item vetoes. If Dunleavy vetoes the current PFD bill, Alaskans could receive dividends later than normal this year. In a statement, Dunleavy said he is not planning to call the legislature into a third special session immediately. But if he vetoes the PFD funding of the bill, the legislature would need to meet again to ensure PFDs get out this year. Dunleavy has until August 30th to sign the bill or veto all or parts of it. Historically, the State Department of Revenue has needed to know the PFD amount by August 31st in order to issue dividends in the first week of October. If Dunleavy vetoes the PFD amount in the bill, he cannot call the legislature back into special session in time for dividends to go out on the normal schedule, because state law requires the governor to provide 30 days notice for a special session. The legislature could call itself into a special session at any time. State law allows dividends to be sent as late as December 31st. House Speaker Bryce Edgman and Senate President Kathy Geisel have proposed a third special session focused on the sustainability of permanent fund earnings and dividends. A hiker was killed in a fall in the Hatcher Pass area. Alaska State Troopers report that 57-year-old Leslie Lant of Kasiloff fell while crossing the Pennyroyal Glacier after 10 p.m. Monday. Troopers say Lant slid several hundred yards down the glacier into rocks. They say Lant's daughter and a friend were with her and called for help. A trooper helicopter was initially turned back by poor weather, but was able to recover Lant's body with help from members of the Alaska Mountain Rescue Group on Wednesday. A diver died in Glacier Bay National Park. KTOO reports that according to the National Park Service, the diver was working off a permitted research vessel Wednesday in Torch Bay on the Gulf of Alaska coast. Park spokesperson Ingrid Nixon said no further details were available as of yesterday. The diver's name has not been released while officials attempt to notify next of kin. The U.S. Coast Guard and the Park Service are both investigating the incident. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly has altered the process for fixing existing buildings and constructing new ones. As KUAC's Robin reports, the new plan approved at a meeting last night requires more public input.
The new Capital Improvement Plan, or KIP, is being rolled out with a colorful new website and two public workshops. Fairbanks Borough Mayor Bryce Ward has doubled down on the public comment opportunities in the new ordinance.
Both from the very beginning, from the genesis or conception of these ideas, all the way through construction.
It is estimated that between $200 and $300 million worth of repairs are waiting in borough and school buildings. Formerly, the administration and assembly would try to prioritize where to start.
Our old plan was almost a joke.
Assembly member Aaron Legiski said the old process for prioritizing didn't carefully examine what is the most efficient way of allocating tax dollars.
It makes sense to have a more robust plan than what we've had in the past to efficiently allocate and how we're going to spend it.
Maintenance and construction are not very sexy issues, but they've been a problem for the borough since voters enacted a tax cap in 1987, and they've become a repeated theme for the borough recently. Mary Sy Recreation Center became notorious for its maintenance problems and was nearly closed for safety reasons. Then voters rejected bond issues last October for a new animal shelter, roof set, 2 schools, and a new ice plant for the Carlson Center. To make a dent in some of the maintenance backlog, the Assembly passed an ordinance in January requiring the mayor to put a minimum percentage of the budget into the facility's maintenance reserve, even if the budget is flat with no growth. Ward says the new capital improvement plan requires individuals to nominate projects. Groups can weigh in, however, with letters of support and public comments.
So if you have a project that you're passionate about or that you have an idea on, this is your opportunity as an individual member of our community to bring that forward.
Nominations can be made on the new website for the Fairbanks North Star Borough Capital Improvement Plan. The address, fnsb.us/CIP. Project nominations will be accepted until October 11th. The mayor's plan will provide a 10-year forecast for spending on maintenance and bonding for new construction.
Years 1 through 4 become the capital work plan, so those are projects that we're going to be spending money most likely on. And then the years 5 through 10, they're projects that we're not putting money on at this point, but that we're signaling to the community that these are projects that we have put value on as far as the planning process is concerned.
There are 2 community workshops to explain the new plan, one on Monday, August 19th at the Nolwenn Library, and another September 24th at the North Pole Library. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The road into Denali National Park reopened this morning after being closed at mile 30 yesterday following heavy rains that saturated soils, resulting in minor mudslides and rockfalls. Park spokesperson G.W. Hitchcock says yesterday's closure was a proactive measure, giving crews time to assess conditions along the 90-mile park road.
To go in and look at some failure points to try to head those off before they cause a road closure.
The Denali Park Road reopened at 5 this morning. In a posted update, Denali National Park Superintendent Don Stryker says he's confident in the current state of the road, but more rain is forecast, which may result in future travel restrictions. He also cautions that some park trails have been damaged by the heavy rain and rivers are running very high, making crossing more dangerous. Meanwhile, the Denali Borough has declared an emergency due to rain-caused erosion and flooding. The declaration signed by Mayor Clay Walker says weather stations in some parts of the park measured as much as a foot of rain over the last week, and that Dry Creek has overflowed its banks, flooding adjacent Healy area neighborhoods. It also lists erosion-exposed utility lines and mud and rock slide caused interruptions of Alaska Railroad service. The disaster declaration allows the borough to access contingency funds. I'm Dan Bross.